We hear again our Lord's word from Mark 10. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." And Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking." In the name of Jesus. It is the day of St. James the Apostle. It rolls around every July 25, so it only ends up on a Sunday every 7 years or so. So maybe we don't remember the last time we had these readings, but James was an apostle. He was martyred, as we heard. So that's, with him being an apostle and a martyr, we see the pyramids in red. So on this day, we get to take a minute to look at the life of St. James the Apostle. He lived his life at the face of God. And it may sound a little pretentious to put it that way, but he did live his life at the face of the Lord. He started out as a fisherman, maybe we would say an average Joe, making a living with the nets. And we could ask, is that really living at the face of God? Mark 1:19. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew and his brother, and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going a little farther, Jesus saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending nets. And immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. So that's a little earlier than the reading we had this morning. That's the first time that we meet James. He's mending his nets, and then he's with Jesus. So he will find out that his whole life is at the face of God, right up until the end when he's murdered by evil King Herod, Acts 11:1. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of the unleavened bread. Herod martyrs him. But that just leaves James at the face of the Lord in eternal life. But it is quite an arc of life for this man. Starting out a common fisherman, just trying to make a buck, ending up beheaded by Herod because he belonged to Jesus. Jesus was with him through it all. Nothing could separate Jesus from James. And that's what Paul speaks of for all of us in Romans 8. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does a life lived at the face of God look like? For James, it looks like a humble fisherman approached by God in the flesh and made an apostle, so that he is with Jesus all the way through the cross and the resurrection and the ascension. And James's life at the face of God also looks like an innocent apostle being martyred by Herod, all for confessing the name of Jesus. But we also must see that this life at the face of God looks like this from Mark 10:35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." So how do we explain that? James, holy apostle chosen by the Lord. James, holy martyr in the church, giving his life for the confession of the name of Jesus. And now we have James, a sniveling sycophant, a pompous power grabber, pathetically trying to secure for himself the highest position in heaven. The same James? Is it all at the face of God? It is at the face of God. James and John literally came up to the face of Jesus to ask for this power that they coveted. Maybe we can sympathize with James. We live, after all, in the same world he did, a world run by power, impressed by position, a world where no one rejoices in being a servant. Everyone strives in some way to control others. So we can understand what James is trying to do here, because it's our sinful flesh too. If the life of faith is to live before God, receiving his good gifts, then the life of sinful flesh is to live before God, acting like you don't live before God, all the while grabbing for what you want. The way of faith, receiving gifts from God, living by grace, looking to God for every good gift, knowing that all things come to you as gift. The way of flesh, not receiving, but grabbing. Not being given to, but taking, grasping, getting control of, as if everything came to you by way of your effort, your decision, your choice, your drive, or however else we want to describe this sinful compulsion to think that we are our own lords. So we can understand what James wanted in this attempt at power, but how do we explain that in living this sinful life at the face of God, James still belongs to God? It's not James, it's God. It is not the sinner, it's Jesus. James belongs to Jesus, not because of James and who he was and how he lived, but because of Jesus and who Jesus is and what Jesus gives to James. James belonged to Jesus, and it is all the doing of Jesus. At the boat, and then later at James's pathetic grab for power, later at James's martyrdom, Jesus is with him. He belongs to the Lord. Romans 8:29. For we know that those who love God, for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. James belongs to Jesus because God predestined him. He called him. He justified him. And in eternity, he glorifies him. So this is the gospel, that you belong to the God of life, not because you made a decision for him, not because you called him into your heart, or any other such nonsense that we might come up with, but because, as Paul says, he predestined you. He elected you to life. He called you to himself. He justified you. He made himself your Lord. You are baptized into him. It is his calling, his predestination of you. It is his word of justification, which is the forgiveness of all your sin. Along with James, you belong to Jesus. Baptism says no less. Your life is every day at the face of Jesus. We don't, of course, know this all the time. We don't see it. We don't feel it. We often forget it. But we live our lives at the face of God. He sees our sin. It's not that he's ignorant. Just as he heard James's pathetic plea for power, grant us to sit, Lord, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Just as Jesus heard James's plea for power, so Jesus hears our voices of sin too. But we belong to Jesus not because we said the right thing, not because we are somehow more worthy than James, for that matter, but because he, Jesus, called us out of his grace, and he predestined us to be his own. And daily we are given to hear his word, justify us. So what of our pathetic plays for power, our seeking to control others, our enmity with others? What of our sin at the face of God? Of that, Jesus gives the gift of repentance. He repents us, first by accusing us with his law, letting us finally see that we cannot justify ourselves, and then his word of forgiveness. The sin is released, the guilt washed away, our shame covered with his honor. We are reconciled to his Father and to one another. That is to be given repentance by the Lord. It is his work. It is his gift, his promise that nothing, neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities, neither earthly powers nor demonic powers, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Christ Jesus our Lord, he is the one who is with us, who came not to be served, but to serve, giving his life a ransom for many, Mark 10:45. He is the one serving out to us always the gifts of his cross. In the name of Jesus, amen.